A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, January 30, 2019. And this is a Live Talk, a Diaspora Forum. My name is Chris Gande.
And I'm Tanono Kawande.
We would like to welcome our viewers and listeners in Zimbabwe and around the world. And tonight we are discussing the crisis in Zimbabwe that has forced some people to flee to the diaspora.
Yesterday, scores of lawyers took to the streets and protested what they say is a glaring case of miscarriage of justice.
Thousands of people are languishing in jail following the violent protests that took place in the country over an increase in the price of petrol and diesel.
The army and police launched a crackdown that left a few dead and hundreds injured and forced dozens others to flee the onslaught.
The authorities have released a list of wanted people who include members of parliament, of the opposition MDC, and leaders of civic organizations.
Today we want to discuss all this and more.
To join our discussion, phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and we'll call you right back. Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 medium wave frequency and on 13860 kilohertz a shortwave Monday through Friday at 8 p.m.
To join our discussion, please phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and like Chris said, we'll call you right back.
Yebo kambe zulukandaba namhlanje ke siyadivana njalo kuhlelo lwethu esiliphalo namaviki wonke ngolwesithathu lapho ke esixoxa lezizalwane zeZimbabwe ezihlala emazweni achiyeneyo aphetsheya. Namhlanje ke sixoxa ngokwenzakala elizweni osokwenze inengi lasuka libaleka elizweni lisiyaphephela emazweni angomakhelwane ngemva kokutshengisela okwenziweyo ngeviki edluleyo lapho esizokuthiwa khona kulabantu abaningi kakhulu ababotshiweyo, abanye njalo bakhona abafileyo. Sifuna ukuzwa ukuthi lina lithini ngalokhu. Inombolo zethu 202-465-0318. Lingasitshayela ke inombolo siyalitshayela lathi lingasipha inombolo zenu siyalitshayela ucingo lezo ke inamba engiliphezona ngeze WhatsApp. Mr. Wande.
Nasi tiri kuda kumbotarisa zviri kuitika munyika sezvatiri kuita mazuva ese mazuva ano aya. Kune vanhu vazhinji vari kumanikidzwa kuti vatize mudzimba dzavo mumisha mavo nevamwe vaakutotiza munyika. Ndiyo nyaya toda kuti titarise nezuro. Magweta akawanda akabuda mumahofisi mavo vakapinda mumigwagwa vachiratidzira vachigunun'una nenyaya yekuti mirayiro yenyika haisiri kubatwa zvakanaka uyezve kodzero dzavanhu dziri kuchorwa. Izvi zvinoita sokuti hazvina kufadza vanhu vazhinji kuti vaone vanagweta vachigunun'una kudai vari mumigwagwa asi vachipomera mhosva kuhurumende yekuti haisi kuchengetedza mirayiro yenyika. Iko zvinezvi kune zviuru nezviuru zvevanhu vari muzvitogisi vari mumajere zvichitevera kuratidzira kwakaitika vhiki mbiri dzapfuura pamusaka pamidzurwa kwemutengo wemafuta edzimotikari kakaita sepetro nedizel. Ukuvo masoja namapurisa vari kuramba vachinetsana nevanhu vachirova vanhu vachipindira vanhu mudzimba dzavo zvinova zvava kukonzera kusanzwisisika kusawirirana nedzimwe nyika dzinoona zvinhu zvekuramba zvichiitika izvi. Iko zvinezvi hurumende yabudisa listi yevanhu vari kudikamwa nemapurisa asi listi ine nhengo dzeparamende dzemapato anopikisa nevamwe vakuru vemasangano akazvimirira ega. Zvese izvi zviri kuramba zvichikonzera nyonganyonga munyika. Ndiyo nyaya yatoda kutarisa nhasi, tichitarisawo neavo vari kubuda munyika nevamwe vanopotera munyika nevamwe vari kunze kwenyika, kuti tione kuti nyaya iyi ichafamba sei kubva pano. Kande.
Yes, Mr. Wande, we have our in-house guest, Mr. Jeff Smith. He is the director of Vanguard Africa Foundation. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Mr. Smith has over a decade of experience in human rights advocacy, pro-democracy, and research work on Africa, including at Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights, Freedom House, National Endowment for Democracy, Institute for Democratic Alternatives in South Africa, and UNESCO, and so forth and so on. That's a very colorful resume there.
Yes, yes indeed.
Yeah, and actually throughout that time, my first big, the projects I working on abroad was actually in Zimbabwe back in 2009 when I was at the Institute for Democratic Alternatives, and it was in the aftermath of the disputed election in 2008. So it was a very steep learning curve on Zimbabwean politics.
I see. So now, right now, what do you make of the situation in Zimbabwe from what you have seen?
Yeah, I think it's an unfolding tragedy that I think, unfortunately, many observers and analysts, both internationally and at home in Zimbabwe, saw coming. Obviously, this is a regime that's been in power for four decades. The leader may have changed, but the apparatus of the dictatorship remained firmly in place. And I think the human rights abuses that we continue to see that are being committed with impunity, live shots being fired at protesters, people being killed in the streets, is tragic. And I think the real tragedy of Zimbabwe as well is the fact that, you know, for the past two decades, it's really dragged the rest of the region down with it. You see the spillover effect with whether it's economic or political refugees flooding the border to South Africa and elsewhere. So it's really a regional problem that I think hasn't been adequately addressed by so-called leaders in the region, not least of which those being in Harare.
You have been following events in this region, particularly Zimbabwe, among others. Did it ever occur to you that Zimbabwe would find itself in this kind of situation 30 years ago, 39 years ago?
I think, you know, looking back, during the post-revolutionary era when Mugabe first came to power, many people forget he was a guest here in Washington. He visited the White House. He gave a big speech at Howard University. There was a lot of high hopes, I think, for the ZANU-PF government back in the early 1980s. And for a while, you know, you two are the experts, and I'm sure your listeners know much more than I do, but there were some positive gains that were made at the outset. But then, of course, you know, you get into the mid-1980s and late 1980s and the Gukurundi and the massive state-sponsored political violence that happened, which I think is putting it lightly. And then we fast forward to today in 2019, and the president now was one of the chief architects of those atrocities that were committed as far back as the 1980s. So again, you know, as I was mentioning at the outset, I think it's just been an unfolding tragedy in slow motion that I, unfortunately, a lot of people saw coming. I think the country needs fundamental political change and respect for the basic human rights that people are born with simply by virtue of being human, and also for leaders in Zimbabwe to respect the rights enshrined in their own constitution. I think that's what's been lacking.
So when you say there was high hope for Zimbabwe in 1980, would you compare that hope with what we saw in 2017 when Robert Mugabe was ousted from power.
I think, you know, the euphoria that we saw in the streets in November 2017 was a lot of pent-up frustration over the years. And I think, you know, talking to Zimbabweans and civil society and ordinary citizens and friends I've made over the years, I think there were some segments of society that were willing to give President Mnangagwa and the vice president and others the benefit of the doubt. I think at that point, it was anyone but Mugabe, and we'll take it and see what we can do with this so-called new dispensation. I, for one, and many of the people that I'm close to weren't fooled. I don't think many people saw, including myself, saw the change coming that the president, the current president, was promising. And again, I don't think it's any surprise that we're sitting here today again talking about the unfolding crisis in Zimbabwe. And I think it's continues to trend in the wrong direction. And still, I haven't seen it, unless you have. The president remains silent. He hasn't given a nationwide speech. He hasn't invited the political opposition or civil society to the table. In fact, it's a situation that continues to get worse and continues to deteriorate. And I think, again, that should be concerning not just for Zimbabweans, but for leaders in the region who it should be in their best interests to promote democracy at the regional level. And we continue to see this evident backsliding, of which Zimbabwe is a prime example. Mm.
It seems like Zimbabwe has a lot more of its citizens outside its borders than it did 20 years, 15 years ago. What effect do you see in terms of differences or weight between the opposition in Zimbabwe today vis-a-vis the opposition in Zimbabwe after independence or before the MDC was formed?
Yeah, I think the political opposition continues to go through its growing pains. You know, if you look back to its formation in the early 2000s, which grew out of the trade union movement and the late Morgan Tsvangirai and other leaders at the time, it's still a relatively young movement. But, you know, I think, again, you have to look at Zimbabwe in a larger context. It's not a coincidence that every single liberation movement turned ruling party has never lost an election in the region. You look at Namibia, Angola, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, South Africa. None of them have lost power because there's an authoritarian solidarity in the region. These leaders stick up for one another. But also at the...
What's the common thread there among these revolutionary parties?
You know, I think, you know, the famous saying goes that at some point there comes a time when the revolution starts to eat its own, and you've seen that in Zimbabwe. You've talked about the many people leaving the country. You know, if you travel often, as I've had the privilege to do, and you travel to London or the top universities in the United States and in Europe, many of the professors there teaching political science and the humanities and chemical engineering are Zimbabweans who left the country because there just simply aren't opportunities at home. And that's really the true rot that you see in repressive dictatorships, of which I would consider Zimbabwe one. You know, I get a lot of flack for saying that about Zimbabwe, and people point to the constitution. But the constitution means little if the principles enshrined therein are not actually acted upon and respected. And that simply just does not exist in Zimbabwe. So I think again, it's just a toxic political situation that I think demands dialogue, and it demands solutions, which are so far lacking, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Smith, we'll be back to you. We have a caller, Mr. Wande. Can you please?
Muripo here, Parnare. Makadini, tukutara nani? Uye burukupi?
Mutara na Christopher, and we kuarare airport.
Oh, muriko airport. Okay, mkoma Christopher. Tibatsirevo munao ne mashoko yenyu.
Ya, zviri kuitika muZimbabwe hazvina chimiro chakanaka, nokuti kana hurumende ichigona kutumira kuti masoja aponde vanhu nemapurisa, zvinhu zvakashata zviri kukonzera kuti vana vemuZimbabwe vashungurudzike. Ini chekufunga kwangu ndaiona sekuti kutaurirana kwakanaka, asi kana munhu mukuru wenyika achiti handisi kufara nezviri kuitika, ivo vanhu vachienderera mberi nekungopondwa. nekuro wanemaso jaga mabosa ndinoona iri nzira isina kunaka pamusoro pazo vakatsvaka dambudziko kuti iopposition yeti munyika mune mapato akawanda kubva kumapato akakwikwidza anosvika kuvanosvika kuma 21 asi vari kungonzi vane mhosva ndeopposition inotungamirwa napurezident vanelson chamisa kosei vasiri kumbotaurwa nezvemamwe mapato kosei vadivadivisa musoro pamwe chete kuti nyika yedu iende mberi pakuti vana vapondwe nemapurisa mabasa nemapurisa muzimbabwe nderei basa nemasoja nderei hakuna here vakuru mabharaki vari kutuma vanhu ivavo vari kutumwa nani zvichibva kupi mota dzinoshandiswa kunorova vanhu ndedzemasoja dzakavharwa manumber plates ndedzemapurisa vanhu vacho vanozivikamwa asi yevoti hatizive kuti vanhu vari kurova vanhu vari kupi zvinobatsirei
aiwa tinotenda zvikuru nemashoko enyu tinotenda chaizvo maita enyu
mukanzwa zvikutaurwa namai mutangu vari kuti tiri kushungurudzira varohwa ngavaende vanomhanara shuwa mune chokwadi here kuti munhu hawe mudzimai arepwa nearohwa oenda unotomhanara kumapurisa unonomhanara sei iwo uchirohwa usati watobvo mhanara kwacho
ye aiwa tinokunzwai tinokunzwa chaizvo masvita enyu mukoma tinotenda zvikuru chaizvo
ekupedzisira ndaanditokumbiro hwangu hakuna here mamwe masangano kana kuti pasi rose robatana kubva kuunited nation europe yacho nesadak neau nemamwe macivic organization uye machechi vogara pasi kwete kuti vaopposition pati ogara pasi oga pasina un pasina eu pasina sadak pasina au nemamwe macivic organization hazvina chinobuda asi tandai mungazve kuti masangano ese akabatana ouya wogara pasi nemaopposition acho vati pamwe chete panogona kuva chinhu chinobuda kwete kungoti maopposition pati ogara pasi oga vemachechi vakazvitadza vakangonyarara vamwe maparlamentarians chaopposition vakangonyarara kunze kwevemdc chete vari kungoti tiri kurohwa ko vamwe vakanyararirei kana kuti zvichida kuti nyika yedu iende mberi
haiwa tatenda chaizvo nemashoko enyu ndinoemba mazuva mashomanene ari kuyapa tichaona kuti zvinhu zvakatarisa kupi sezvo misangano yakati wande iri kurongwa tatenda chaizvo Mr. Smith this caller is in Zimbabwe, is in Harare, and he acknowledges the seriousness of the situation in the country at the moment. But he's wondering why the government is using the army in dealing with citizens instead of using the police. He's also saying that it's okay for the talks to be, to start the talks, but what good are those talks if the president himself does not seem or appear to be taking these things seriously? So he would like to see the president taking an active role instead of apportioning blame to political parties, opposition political parties. He should stand out that this is wrong, should stand out and show his leadership. And he's wondering, he's confused now about the role of the police and the role of the army, because they seem to be doing the same thing, yet the army should not have any role in policing the civilians. So he's also saying that the talks that we are hearing about, the negotiations, are worthless unless they are outside referees. Mm-hmm. If they are just sitting there with people appointed by the president himself, then it's going to be a futile exercise. Yeah. That was what he was saying.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, that's a very astute observation from your caller from Zimbabwe. That's a great question. You know, why are the military in the streets?
Yes.
Has a national emergency been declared? I haven't seen that. And I think, to the larger point, I think this entire, what some people have labeled a good cop, bad cop routine between the president and the vice president is nonsense. The president is the chief executive of the country. He knows what's happening. He has ordered violent, brutal, deadly crackdowns in the past. So I'm not sure why people think that somehow is not happening today. And if not, that's a real testament to the lack of power that the president has. And if that's the case, who really is in power? I think that's a legitimate question that needs to be asked. In terms of regional mediation and having an impartial referee at the table, I think, again, that's a great recommendation. But as we've seen in the past with the Commission of Inquiry, for instance, where the president essentially installs people who will toe the ZANU-PF party line.
Actually, when he was talking, he wants outside mediators to be involved in the talks, but he also expressed, you know, skepticism over regional organizations like SADC and the African Union.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. He didn't give the impression that he's impressed by their role, right, in situations like this.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the history of the African Union, just to take one example on elections, they have never not rubber-stamped an election in the history of the continent. There were some recent statements with the Congolese elections, of which, you know, they voiced some concern, but ultimately, at the end of the day, they cede way to the status quo. So I think, again, that's an astute observation. SADC, as well, I think, has been lacking in terms of leadership on the Zimbabwe crisis that's been ongoing, arguably since the 2008 elections. But there are some regional standard bearers in the region, including some ex-presidents, the former president of Botswana, for instance, the former president of Mozambique, Chissano. There are people, there are men in the region who have stood on democratic principles and have acted on them and have actually, you know, cultivated a democratic atmosphere in their countries. And I'm really hoping that they stand up at this time and really push the leaders within ZANU-PF and those in Harare to actually move the country in the right direction once and for all, because obviously this is a situation that cannot continue. Zimbabwe, I say this over and over again to anyone who will listen, is a country brimming with potential, but it's been so repressed, both physically and metaphorically, by the leadership, by this one party that's been in power since 1980.
So now, how do you see the current crisis, you know, how it's going to affect Zimbabwe's efforts to worm back into the international community? Do you think these efforts by Mnangagwa to try and, you know, he has said he's soft as a wool and all that. And what do you make of what's happening now? Does it really give the international community more power to give sanctions and stuff like that?
Well, plain and simple, I think the mirage of a new Zimbabwe has been shattered absolutely and effectively by this regime. I think that is evidently clear and becomes more clear on a daily basis. President Mnangagwa is not fooling anyone anymore. The violent crackdown speaks for itself. The fact that innocent civilians, in these reports of, you know, the beating of children, the sexual assault of young women, is just outrageous and should not be accepted in 2019. So again, I think this is a situation that demands and needs regional leadership to really step in and do something. Unfortunately, you know, South Africa, which has typically tried to play a proactive role in the past, is hamstrung right now because the president there is concerned about his own election this year. And maybe it'll take someone outside of the region. If you look to West Africa, for instance, and the tremendous democratic gains being made there, is there someone there, a former leader or a current president, who can step in and play this referee role that the caller mentioned previously? Something needs to be done. I think that much is clear. But in terms of Zimbabwe at this point entering the international community and being looked upon as a credible, legitimate player in that regard is just not going to happen. I think the world has witnessed in broad daylight what this regime is capable of. And I think, again, this notion of a so-called new dispensation has been shattered. That's over. And I think it's again demanding of serious action at both a regional and international level.
Well, thank you so much to those who have just joined us. A very good evening. We are talking tonight about the current situation in Zimbabwe, where we understand that thousands of people have fled the country to neighboring countries. We are trying to get hold of a number of those who have fled. We want to hear their side, Mr. Wonder.
I've got a few messages here already. Most of them are just, you know, our listeners and viewers telling us that they are tuned on. Courtney Keltian says, my My phone is just blinking now. No, this is our this phone. It's just blinking when I'm just about to put it here. Yeah, Albi Matarudze says the United States needs to stop giving a blanket approach of dialogue and unity government. Zimbabwe's opposition will never be able to control ZANU-PF with its stronghold in the army. We need a transition authority to totally disarm ZANU-PF. We can have a complete audit, reset, and clean up our judiciary, as well as reinstatement of basic services. You know, that's, you know, he's touching on all the things that are now almost obsolete in Zimbabwe. And maybe it appears to me that his view is that nothing can actually make any difference as long as this mechanism still stands as it is. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the issue of reforms is a necessary one and one that hasn't been addressed. If you go back to the government of national unity between 2009 and 2013 and the security sector reforms that were ostensibly meant to be a part of that process were never undertaken. They were never completed. And I think, unfortunately, that helped pave the way to the situation that Zimbabwe is in today. So again, it's just a lack of progress on these fundamental issues that have been long unaddressed that has paved the way for this tragedy that we're seeing unfold before our eyes on a daily basis, and one that is worsening. It's not getting better. Mm-hmm. Again, to your point before, the president hasn't come out and said anything. He hasn't come out to calm the country or to invite opposition leader Nelson Chamisa to the table or leading figures in civil society and the private sector. And I think it's really going to take an all hands on deck approach to solve this situation. But again, the current leadership just doesn't show any political will or really the courage and the fortitude that it's going to take to right this ship that's clearly sinking.
From what you've observed, why do you think neighboring countries, particularly South Africa and Botswana, for example, they'd rather suffer with the influx? They seem to prefer to suffer the influx of refugees from Zimbabwe rather than, confronting the government of Zimbabwe and saying, look, this is what is happening. You better change this and that so that your people don't keep on crossing the border illegally and taking away jobs from the locals. Why is it that, no one wants to confront another government and say, your policies are affecting us?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it goes back to, I think, what we were talking about before, this notion of authoritarian solidarity. We see that playing out in Southern Africa as we have across the region, with the possible exception of West Africa and some of the gains that have been made there. And let's remember, too, there have been leaders in the past in the region who have spoken out and spoken up against, namely, Mugabe's brutality. There's President Khama of Botswana, President Mwanawasa of Zambia have spoken out in the past. But unfortunately, I think their voices have been too far and few in between. And you just don't see African leaders, current African leaders, speaking out against African leaders. You just have that almost an unspoken sort of bond between these men, because let's face it, they've all been men, with the exception of the former Liberian president, that have each other's backs, regardless of the ruthless violations of human rights that are occurring, the brazen abuses of political rights, of civil liberties. And I think that's a culture that needs to change. But again, if you look at the leadership in some of these institutions and some of the chairmen of the African Union, for instance, the current is Paul Kagame, again, one of the most brutal leaders, arguably, certainly on the continent, but arguably in the entire world. And former chairman Obiang of Equatorial Guinea, who's been in power since 1979, Muammar Gaddafi, before he was deposed and met his fate. So if you look at the the leadership institutions that are in place on the continent, they've been severely lacking and unfortunately, you know, represented by some of the worst of the worst authoritarian leaders on the continent. So it's going to take a ground up approach, I think, and it's going to take a lot of time to address those fundamental issues.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Let's have another caller. We have another caller, Mr. Yes.
Magadini. Muripo yari pari nare. Hello. I think we've lost it there.
I think we lost the caller.
Yes.
So, Mr. Smith, now of the future, what do you make of the future of Zimbabwe? I mean, bearing in mind what has happened in the last few days.
That's a tough question. You know, I am optimistic in the sense that, you know, having worked with Zimbabweans for the past decade in civil society and elsewhere, you know, I think their collective and your collective courage and your perseverance, I think, is a testament to, you know, the fact that Zimbabwe can get past this impasse eventually. I think you've just been plagued with horrible leadership, leadership that just does not respect the rights of ordinary citizens, a leadership that enriches themselves at the expense of, you know, the millions of citizens left in the country who haven't had the means or the ability to move and to vote with their feet, as Zimbabweans say. I am optimistic in the long term, again, just because I think Zimbabweans and you know are some of the brightest, bravest, most courageous, passionate people I've met in my life. So it's those individual stories and those people that give me hope. The current leadership does not give me any hope whatsoever, and I think it's going to take a really profound, long-term, grassroots, bottom-up, fundamental movement to change not only the repressive leadership in place, but also this political culture that allows these strong men to abuse rights with impunity. I'm skeptical in the short term, unfortunately, but optimistic in the long term.
Yes.
And I think Zimbabwe as a country has tremendous amount of potential that just needs to be realized and reached and untapped.
Right.
And that just has not happened yet.
Right. I think we have another caller.
Yeah, we have another
caller. Makadini Parinare. Hello?
Hey, Makadini.
Tiripo. Vanata, do I have a
Aywa,
ndisi Mazinga. Oh, ndisi kutaura nani?
Kutaura mkuma Mike.
Oh, mkuma Mike, muri kupi?
Uchitungwiza.
Mwachitungwiza. Oh, okay. Tibasireo nifungwa dzenyu panya yai.
Ndona sekuti president wacho ava kunze kwokuti vanoda kuti vari kupererwa izvi. Oh, so violent. Ivo vane kautinyika vainako.
Ehe. Sei muchidaro?
Ndinodaro nekuti izvinezvi vakangonyarara vanhu vari kuurawa ende vanhu vari kuurayirwa zvinhu zvavanoziva zvavanoda muri kuti vanhu vari kuti imimi hatidi chakati ivovo tichidei saka vanhu vacho ivo vanoda kutonga kana uchiti ivo uri purezidendi anoteerera vanhu vacho vauroda kutonga vanenge vabvepi vaunozoteerera ivo usingauwirirani nevanhu vari kutaura vachikumbira kwauri saizvozvizvi plus anika inonzi kuti ibude inobuda pa president vaapprova saka zvoona kuti army nepolisi zvayakabuda yakazobata futi zvitoziva vari vanhu vasingaiti madecision avo vega vanowork under instruction vanhu ava vakapuwa simba irori nani kuti vapfure munhu chinova chinhu chakashatisisa pano panyika kupfura munhu asina kana mhosva asina kana mupfuti kumurwisa nepfuti zvinoreva kuti masimba avo ndoona sekuti ati one day kudarika mamwe masimba atinoona anoshandiswa nevamwe vanhu vatungamiriri vevanhu plus zveivo vanonoinda vonoti masanctions ngaabve masanctions anogozobva sei ivo varivo vanoatanga kwadana nekuti havateereri kana kuziva kuti kune mahuman rights havazvizivi ndo vanhu vanotibatsira kuti vamboita sevanototi sungei kuti zvirambe zvakanaka nekuti dei vasivo takapera kufa
Panya
zvavanoda nekuti kuna kana mumiririri munhu
panyaya yemasanction yamuri kutaura iyo moda kuti zvitwe sei hamubvumire kuti masanctions ndo ariko vavhiringa
ah masanctions dai akatomborapa akazvikozikana akasadaro tingato ane maconditions kai ari kunzi ndee human rights abuse
ya
zvoka nari ema human rights abuse ama human rights abuse acho aregerwa here handiti zvino munoona kuti vanhu vanongokwewa vachingopfurwa vachingodini saka tinoona sekuti human rights abuse acho achiriko saka masanctions akatomboramba akadaro tinotomboti zviri nani because zvinenge zvakutipa kuti ava vapote vachitya nekuti government yavo yacho yava ichadeliver haisi kudeliver because iri kubricha mamwe macontracts kana kuti manhikikiri marights manhiki macontracts eun chaivo chaivo ekuti toda vanhu vanogara zvakanaka saka ivo veunited nations vacho vakavapa masanctions ezesaini yekutsamwa kuti muri kubata vanhu zvakashata ivo vanotsamwei why do they move around vachinyepa kuti muzimbabwe makanaka tibvisireiwo masanctions isi zvinhu zvakanaka isi tichichema navo tisingavadi
aiwa tinotenda chaizvo nemashoko enyu tinotenda maita anyu thank you so much
ini ndotowedzera kuona sekuti kana ivo vachiti isusu takaa takapambwa nevarungu vachiti varungu vaitibata
We lost him. But briefly, before you go, Mr. Smith, yeah. The caller was saying that he doesn't believe that the president has any new ideas for the country. He says that he's violent, and you can see that he's run out of ideas by the way he keeps quiet while all these things are happening around him. And he also blames him for the role played by both the army and the police, because they are doing these things supposedly in his name or to probe him up. So he says that he hopes that the sanctions stay in place because they are there for a purpose until something better comes out of this whole thing.
Yeah, I think the foundational issue there is once you start to see the breakdown of the rule of law, of which we're seeing in Zimbabwe on a daily basis, that's you can't continue in that situation. And for a president to be silent when these massive abuses are taking place again in broad daylight, the videos that have been coming out and the pictures and the anecdotes and the stories that I've heard personally and seen in many of the same media reports that I'm sure you're reading are just unacceptable. And for a leader of a country in 2019 to stay silent while this is happening under his watch is reprehensible. And I think, again, a testament to perhaps the lack of power that he has. And the question remains, if he's not in power, who is? Who's pulling the strings? Who's ordering the military into the streets to shoot civilians again, as we saw last August? And this is, again, still happening with impunity. You're not having any accountability for these crimes that are being committed. So if the president doesn't have the power to run this country in the way in which the people of Zimbabwe deserve, maybe he should step aside. It's time to start considering what sort of country or what sort of leadership this country needs and demands to progress and to move in the right direction. And again, it's an unfolding tragedy that many people saw, expected, and long ago predicted. So the urgency is now, and reform needs to happen yesterday. Yes. I really do hope for the best for the country, and do, as I said, I want to leave on an optimistic note, and I do remain optimistic just because Zimbabweans in general have been through so many hardships over the past four decades, and they've always persevered, and I don't expect that spirit to die down anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. I'm tempted to ask you just one last question, Mr. Smith. What did you think when you saw the lawyers marching, protesting about the absence of the rule of law and the lack of protection for human rights? What does it conjure up in your mind when you see lawyers protesting and clamoring for the rule of law?
Yeah, it's inspiring, and I think the lawyers of Zimbabwe have been at the vanguard of the movement in Zimbabwe for a generation now. You think of people or organizations like Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights and you know, stalwarts in that struggle like Beatrice Mtetwa and Irene Petrus, who are longtime friends of mine, and they inspire me. And when I'm thinking about you know, or remaining optimistic in terms of Zimbabwe's long-term development, those are the people I'm thinking of, you know, because they quite literally are going out into the streets and continuing to put their lives on the line for what they believe in. And that is a better Zimbabwe for all, regardless of political affiliation, regardless of geographic location or ethnic identity. And I think, again, to answer your point more directly, it's inspiring to see that, to see people exercising their basic constitutional rights that should be afforded to every Zimbabwean across the board. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they still have the energy and the bravery after all these years to continue to go out into the streets and to mobilize and to inspire others to do the same, I think really speaks volumes about their character. It's just a shame that the current political leadership doesn't have that same character that many leaders in civil society and in these legal and within the legal fraternity have. Again, another tragedy that has befallen the country.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Mr. Smith.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. That was Mr. Jeffrey Smith, the researcher on the work on Africa. We had him as our main guest in the studio. We are also expecting some guests on the line, Mr. Wande.
We don't have anyone on the line right now. You know.
Yes,
we would have wanted to talk to Mr. Mavinga, you know, especially considering the situation and the reports of people fleeing the country. We hear as people from as far as Namibia now seeking asylum, and some of these people are very high profile individuals. We would have loved to talk to some of these gentlemen, but we'll see what happens in the next several minutes. Maybe we'll be able to talk to them.
Yes, we were also expecting Mr. Charlton Wende, the Secretary of Finance in the MDC, is also a member of parliament, and he is in Namibia. We understand he's fearing for his life. We are also expecting him to hear from him. But in the meantime, Zulugandaba Lingasi Chayla Ucengo si Kotle Ngotaba Logwenzagala Zimbabwe Sikulumage Igakulu Ngalabo Agutua Sebe Balege Ekaya Bebalege La Utugu Olukona Ye Inamba Zetu +1 202 465 0318,
Mr. Wanda. That motor sagotipane Nicholas Muzaya unoti we are receiving you well. That's very good. Pastor Mnyori unoti we don't accept my messages. And Edith P. Anoti, I concur with Jeff. The lack of transparency is quite understandable. I concur with Jeff. The lack of transparency is quite questionable, and the need to make people keep guessing is similar to the way the Stalin regime ran. But obviously, the ending is futile. So, pana na wakawanda shukuru Pesto Mnyori, Nicholas Mzaya, Emmanuel Nyakonda, vari kuti vakatarisa vani su muchirongwa. Aiwa tinotenda shukuru. Tichaverenga mamwe ma messages kana auya. Gande, the situation is a little bit regrettable that so many people, from professional people, high-profile people, to so-called ordinary people in the country, preferring to cross the borders for something better, mm-hmm. and not only that, but as a way to preserve their lives. Mm-hmm. There's nothing so demeaning as to run away from the people who are supposed to be protecting you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how this is going to end. Seems like there is something new happening every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking of something new, Mr. Wande, we had earlier on, we received a message that the President, Mr. They call him Comrade, by the way, Comrade Emmerson Dambudzo Mnangagwa, today announced the establishment of a Presidential Advisory Council. And this council is a voluntary council, and let me read just a brief of what they are supposed to do. One of the main things that they will do is to proffer ideas and suggestions on key reforms and measures needed to improve the investment and business climate in the country for economic recovery. And what is interesting about this council, Mr. Wande, is the composition of the members. And let me quickly read through some of the names. Actually, there are about, let me see, about 20 or so members of this council. And we have people like Vusisa Moyo. You know, Vusisa Moyo from the CZI and other business organizations. And then we have Divine Ndlugula, Joe Mtizwa, Zondo Sakala, Louis Maxwell Musasike, Dr. Norbert Mugwagwa, Dr. Godfrey Sikipa, Remigius Makumbe, Simbarashe Mangwengwende. Yes, he's back. Dr. Lindi Westbanda, Enias Chuma, Edwin Manikai, this must be the lawyer,
yeah.
Sam Malaba, Professor Kuzwinetsa Nzwimbo, Natalie Jabangwe, Trevor Ngube, yeah, the publisher. Ngube, Jana Ngube, Dr. Shingi Munyeza, Dr. Kenneth Mtata, Simon Hammond, Richard Wild, Kudakwashe Dagwirei, Professor Robson Mafoti and Mr. Mfaro Moyo.
Mm.
Yes. Meanwhile, we have a guest on the line, Mr. Ndlovu, Ndlovu, a Zimbabwean living in South Africa. Siyakwamukela kuhle. Yebo, ukhuluma lo Chris Gande. Siyaphila. Mzana, ungasitshela ukuthi kuhamba njani? Sizwa kuthiwa kulabantu asebebalekele khona ngapho eSouth Africa bevele eZimbabwe ngenxa yocuko olukhona ekhaya.
Kuliqiniso kakhulu ngenxa yokuthi babalekela impisa, ukuza term ukuthi impisi okuthiwa yizanepiyo iza izibize lamathambo ayithekelezi. Izizathu ngenxa yokuthi abantu bakhuluma iqiniso yona ayifuna ukulalela iqiniso. Lokho kekugcineni kufuna kudala ukuthi yona ibisirisponda kumbe iphendule ngokudlwangulula abantu, ngoba nxa ngisebenzisa ukuthi banikithi ukudlwangulula ngibala izinto ezibe ngokuthi iyarepha ihed izinto ezinjalo, iyachaya abantu, ichaya ngandlela kumbe ngazikhanyeza ehlukeneyo, bachaya ngama-AK, izindi zama-AK, bachaya ngama-button stick, bachaya ngamajambo bekhahlela abantu. So abantu vele stayed from that brutality abalayo, kodwa iqiniso likhona, abantu babaleka iqiniso belazi ukuthi kuyadityeza eZimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Manje ngokubona kwakho baningi kakhulu yini asebebalekele khona?
Ngabe ngingela inani ukuthi ngakunika ukuthi lidigqini ngale ndlela, kodwa iqiniso elikhona engilandelelayo ukuthi baningi abantu asebebalekile, ngoba yona ngomoya ovele ukhona ivele yakhangeleli aba bantu abahlala bephilisana layo. So abantu baningi.
Okay. Mr. Wande. Yes, he's...
I don't know if you are in a position to tell us what happened to you, Mr. Ndlovu.
Mina ngizakhuluma kodwa ngigqize ngingabeke ezinye indawo ngoba izikhiwu ziyathanda ukuthi zilandele lowo muntu ozikhathazayo. Kodwa mina ngizikhathazi ngobubi, ngizikhathaza ngokubatela iqiniso bona kodwa bamthathe bathi yibubi. Njengoba sizizwa upresident mina ngigade sithi awudili those who have nonsense in my country. So okwenzakala kimi ukuthi laba bantu bayakwazi ukuthi mina ngilunge eliqakathekileyo kumbe ngathi ngilunga lebandla eliphikisayo. Ekuphikisaneni laphana sisitsho ukuthi bona abafuni ukuthi kwezwe amazwi esiwakhulumayo ngenxa yokuthi abahlaba balengqondo yokuthi thina singabantu ababi abaphikisela abantu izinto ezingaqondanga kodwa abantu sibatshela izinto eziqondileyo ngoba kusobala njengokuthi nxa uzatshela umuntu ukuthi ifuyo likhwele nge-150% njengoba upresident okuthiwa ngumnangagwa wa-announce ekuthini ukuthi ifuyo lisikhwelile. It was something like 150% ukuphela kwayo. So what happens then, these people are busy targeting the people who tell other people the truth, because in the given society kunabantu ababe bezabonisa abanye abantu ukuthi yeyilanti nanti iqiniso lisezingeni elinde kumbe lisezingeni elinde. So okwenzakala kimi-ke mina ngasuka khonokho ukuthi ubuki nabuyibuki awuso wonke umuntu obujabulelayo noma usebenza layo. Kunabantu mina abasuka bazitshele ukuthi yedaba kwelezinyaweni zakho laba bantu bengamapholisa bakekhe besithi thina into leyenzakalayo siyithande kwesidini wonke usewenzane babika ngoba kuthethi kulande sizokubokha sikubophela izinto oyena ozenzayo ezinhle labo esizibonayo njengelunga lamapholisa ukuthi ziqondile ngokuzama ukuthi kwakhe impilo yabantu bakusasa kanye lathi amapholisa singabantu abangenelisi kuhlelela. So-ke kuthe kwenzakala enjalo akuhlala ngamzizwana imide lapho engihlala khona basebethelekile endlini yami bafika laphana endlini babhuduza babhuduza baswele ukuthi bangathola bani ngoba bengingekho. Kwasuka kwaharaswa abantwana endlini ukuthi indaba mina ngingekho. So inhlansi ekhona mina lapho engangikhona ngangidemekisa ukuthi ngicela omunye ngenelisa ukucela omunye umuntu ukuthi abathathe ividiyo. Ividiyo yangikhona ngisentive online ukuthi abantu babone iqiniso ngoba isikhathi esiningi izanu ayithandi ukuthi umhlaba ubone isinto. Yikho ngibona bavala i-inthanethi babuyethina ukuthi hhayi ayiseyibulabana abantu abahlala bezike kwizinto ngendlela ezingaqondanga sarekhoda amavidiyo sagcina sasikwazi bazawuvula i-intanethi safaka kuma kubo-Twitter kubo-Facebook kuma-international news stations angisho njengoba lani ngikhuluma nani kahle. So kuthe kwenzakale njalo-ke ngabona ukuthi umumo lowo bantu laba bangihlasela beze ebusuku kukhanya babebathathu mangibuza unkosika sifo khangela abantwana ukuthi bafike busuku bezidinga. So ekuyithingeni kwabo bamthola kingekho ngoba ngangisiza ukuthi igazi lami liyintelethi engingabiyelenga hambiyelanga-ke endlini. Ngasuka ngayo kwenye indawo-ke kwamanye amasababhu olapho ngahamba ngathatha khona.
Ndlovu bamba kancane Ndlovu bamba kancane sithatha omnye umlaleli ya ungabamba sizabuyela ku hallo ye mlaleli unjani
sikhona manje ngifuna ukukhuluma lo bhuti lapho ugande lapho
nguye okhulumayo sikhuluma lo bani
ukhuluma lo Mafati Masuku eSouth Africa.
Oh yebo Masuku. Siyakwamukela kuhlela.
Hayi ngiyabonga futhi kanti ngiyabonga kakhulu.
Mm.
Ngingathi mina ngathi ngenye sengile eminyaka ngabona engu-5 ngifuna ukuthi kengingenela emhlabeni kodwa ngisehluleka namhlanje lemshado ngingangena futhi kanti. Into eyenzakalayo lapho eZimbabwe hayi ibuhlungu lokhana kokuthi thina esasukela sisuka empini saze sazofika saze saba izakhamizi ubuhlungu kokuthi lancane umuntu abengavuka nabantu abafayo empini angeke bavume ukuthi balwela into enjengayona le. And into yokuqala futhi eyiyo yaphambaniseka sengikhuluma ngokwakhathisa sakhulu wakudala unangagwazela waphambanisa tombi wetigo eshaya umdala ikhulu kana mhlazibuza ukuthi yathi siyazibuza ukuthi kathi ithiwa echayela umdala yona le ukuthi abulala abantu aqonde phambi ngoba lana umuntu vele iCV yakhe ivuza igazi iCV yakhe umnango wakhe ivuza igazi akula muntu ongakwaziyo ukuthi umnango wakhe nancathi ngelaphuphu thi izakhamizi kodwa siyakwazi wabulala abantu e-DRC bethatha i-diamond pretendile evukela izakhamuzi wazobulala abantu ngegugulu awuntu wayekhona wazobulala abantu abangusikisi wazobulala abantu khathesi abangaziwayo ukuthi ukulela abangaki kuwona la mavikedli lokhu eqhubeka esiya phambili kulala mina into engiyisona kakhulu ngama-organization emhlabeni e-EU EU SADC mina njengowami ngifuna ukutshela futhi igama engilibiza i-SADC ukuthi lithoni ibane i-SADC litho ukuthi Southern African Dictators Committee abantu laba bonke bayazwanana nabo ekwenzeni izinto zokudlova abantu bayazana ayisikho ukuthi umpresident lo wenza into abanye abangayaziyo wenza into abayaziyo wayethela yena ngakuye ukuthi khona eshiye kulo msindo ekhaya asuke ayensedodi ngawo asuka waye komakhelwane yemakhelwane basengilohlupho olunje bamemukela agijine aye millions and millions of kilometers away esiyacela incwedi labo bangakibo besayathi laba bangaphi kanti bayakwazi ukuthi bayazana yikho lakhathesi bezithulele bengamnedi ngaludo bafuna ukuyabona ukuthi i-Russia le wasuka wagijima wakiyo izomnceda ngani ethiya abantu bakhe lapha ayipho lapha ecomithini yakhe khona i-South African Dictators Committee bayazana bonke laba bantu bathule bathetu bavaliwe kanti bakabulale mina bafuna ukuthi kuze kubulale inamba yabantu abangaki ukuze bangikhona kuyangenela kuze kufi umtakabani mina njengami ngibushiwe ekhaya vele ngahle ngithenga ikhakha ngiqedile masinyane ngoba bengilezinto zami vele funa ukuyavula i-business bengikwazi ukuthi izanu vele siyayikhanyela ngoma-elections onalapo kodwa ngokurobha kwayo kwehlula nanto ama-business ethu aphethe konke e-South Africa sizawasama ngilezi mota zami okumele ngizihambise ekhaya ezokuqala i-business esiyi-3 ngilamakhipha ayi-2 ngilesigazeta esiyi-1 wonke khona kungaku-accumulator since ngifika e-South Africa waiting for that situation to come down and to be in human situation ukuthi ngihambe ngevula i-business yamerika ama-loko zemprograss yami ngayiphendukisa e-border sengizisa ukuthi kuyini izani ngikwazi ukuthi same page intshi lutho ngibuhlungu kakhulu ngoba sengadeda ukusebenza sengavula i-business zami ngihambe ngevula i-business ekhaya lami I'm not even here and I'll never be here until and then thikizani iziphuma esikhundleni
hayi siyakuzwa kakhulu
$90,000 ngizofukuyibisa la funa ukuze ukuthi bathi ngifukuyibisa lapha ekhangele $90,000 ngibeza ngenza njani bathi siyakunika $30 ngeviki wathi bush ithi $30 ngeviki indlama yi-$30 ngayendlela ngathi ngabona ukuthi lapha
hayi kuyezwakala mnumzana isikhathiso esingasavumi sibongile kakhulu ngokusithinta
kande ngiyabonga kakhulu hayi baphile ebantu ungakhathazeki baphila futhi
hayi siyathaba nxa bephila sibongile kakhulu
hayi mina vele enhlayi futhi ngiyaphila lami
ah okay hayi sibongile kakhulu mnumzana
ngihlalelile number yami futhi ningithinta loba kukunini ngisebenzisayo ingithinta ke ngikhuphe yonke abantu babekwazi ukuthi kuyini okwenzakalayo
hayi kulungile sizayigcina inamba yakho Okay, sibongile. Yes, Mnumzana Ndlovu, isikhathi sesihambile ungavalelisa nje abalaleli ngamafitshane.
Mina ngiyathanda ukuvalelisa ngakho abantu ukuthi ngizakhuluma izinto ezimbili. The first thing is that the international community should look at this issue. The second thing is that ISADC is just a useless organ because it's not even assisting in any way. And if ever the international community can function in SADC countries, then they will still have to say what is happening in Zimbabwe is wrong. And the Westerners, ngicela abantu beZimbabwe bame ngeqiniso ngoba umanyala ngamanyala noma kunini
njalo indlala ikhona eZimbabwe izazoba khona bazokubona amasotha azobathukumela bona labo mnangagwane ba isitu kasila uniform isitu kasila mbopho nase sinambile siyabikwa kwazo sizakutsho njengoba nanku bebencedisa ukuvula izitoro belipha nabantu siyabonga futhi
ayiseli ngehlungelo hayi sibongile kakhulu
yebo
Well, Mr. Wande, there you have it. Mr. Yeah. Ndlovu there is saying, you know, there's no need to unite, but people just have to be different parties because they're different ideologies, I guess. Anyway, that was the end of the show. I hope that we meet again next time. We had, of course, our guest, Mr. Jeff Smith. He was with us here in the studio, and you just heard from Mr. Ndlovu and the rest of the callers. Thank you so much. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Tanono Kawande. Until we meet again next time, please take care. Good night.